You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're going to talk plenty of baseball today with opening day coming up on Thursday. We got your AL Central preview later in the show. We'll talk about all five teams. We'll also have a couple of guests. We'll have Tim Dirks from MLBTradeRumors.com, and then also Tony Paul from the Detroit News will be with us to talk baseball. But I want to stick with Turney. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. And Scott, I just pointed out all the observations that I've made about this tournament. First of all, I think CBS's programming decision to split to four stations was one of the more brilliant programming decisions in the last 20 years or so in television. I think Duke can't play with disciplined athletic teams. I think Michigan has a swagger about them they've never had before. I think the one and done has helped mid-majors more than ever before. And I think the Big Ten can't compete in the next couple of years for a national championship. What are some observations that you've made so far in this tournament?
I think one of the main things is how much just kind of raw talent rules over a lot of things. Like, 'cause you look at Duke, and they've got some pretty talented players. Kyrie Irving, if he would have been healthy, I think he ups their ante a ton. He's that superstar, really talented player.
Let me ask you something before, and then I'll let you continue. I was watching a lot of analysts talk about how they felt that Kyrie Irving playing hurt Duke because it hurt Nolan Smith's role. I don't get that sense because, you know, first of all, Kyrie Irving scored 28 points in the Sweet 16 game, so it's not like Irving was the problem. And it's not like Nolan Smith can't create his own shots when he gets the ball. So to me, I didn't think it was nearly as big of a deal. I thought it was more of an excuse for Duke than anything. What were your feelings about that?
That's exactly right. It was an excuse. I mean, you go back and look at Kyrie Irving against Michigan State and tell me he wasn't the best player you'd seen in a long
time. Some people project him as the number one overall pick in the NBA draft.
The only thing, and it's not, the problem with bringing him in isn't that it affects Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith has been the starter. He's been the sixth man. He's been the role guy.
Yep.
Yeah, he had a great year. He took over. He should get some votes for player of the year. I'm not going to take that away from him.
And I think people forget that he was not a very good point guard. They moved him to shooting guard because he was a point guard to start and he couldn't get it done.
Exactly. And the only thing that it would have hurt, like, I don't think Nolan Smith cared. He's a good enough team player where he knows what's going on. Everybody on that team knows how good Kyrie Irving was. Mike Krzyzewski is not going to bring him back if he's not ready to go. The thing that it hurt was just they hadn't played with him in a while, and it could have hurt timing just a little bit. But again, go back to the film and watch Kyrie Irving play and tell me that you wouldn't put him on the court.
I was about to say, you can't argue with me that you're arguably your best player doesn't help you win games and actually hurts you. I just don't buy into that.
Exactly. And I like your point on the one-and-done rule and how it does really help mid-majors, the teams that can put people together, stick around. You have a senior class where it's three guys who have been together. But it's kind of a strange mix with the talent. And I'm talking, you have one just really talented guy. They're not necessarily fantastic, but they project well to the NBA. And I mentioned it a few weeks ago. I've never put a ton of credence into that when I actually fill out my bracket. But you look, and Derek Williams has been just simply amazing.
He has been unbelievable. He had five. It was 3, 4, or 5, I can't remember the exact count, posterizing dunks against Duke, where I'm not even kidding, if you didn't watch the game, it reminded me of those street ball videos you see where somebody gets a dunk and everybody goes nuts in the crowd and they do that whole, oh, sound effect. Those were the types of sounds coming from the crowd midway through the second half against Duke.
And I'll admit, I hadn't seen him play much until the tournament. I knew how good he was from reading everything, but I couldn't imagine. He's, what is he, 6'9", probably listed at 240.
He's a matchup nightmare. He's a matchup nightmare.
He's Blake Griffin, who can shoot. He was 5 for 5 from 3.
I think he's got more of a
post
game than Blake Griffin,
right,
too.
Right.
So he's a matchup nightmare, and he can play 3 different positions.
And you look at that, and it's just so tough for those matchups. And it's really interesting, though, because then you do have the team aspect in VCU, the underdog. They're going to come out. Butler, they are that team. But I think it's really interesting when you do have that one guy who's the stud you can go to and a pretty good supporting cast. Like, because Arizona, I mean, you have Solomon Hill, who used to be mentioned there.
I'll be honest. I've seen Arizona play three times this year before the NCAA tournament. I was not impressed.
Right.
I thought they were okay. I thought they were the Pac-10 champion, but I don't know how much that is saying. I thought they were okay. I did not think they were that good. They are a good basketball team, a very good basketball team. To beat Texas, who I still think was good enough to be a 2 seed, and I still think in a different draw was good enough to get to the Final Four. They beat Texas outright, and then they just shellacked Duke, just threw them out of the gym. And they are a very good basketball team. They may be the hottest team in the tournament.
I have to agree with that. You can say VCU's hotter just because of what they've had to go through, you know, but actually best team hot.
The only two teams I would compare to Arizona right now, I think Florida at times has shown very, very hot streaks.
Dominance.
Florida,
yeah,
is another team that they've meant business since they've gotten into the tournament, and they have looked very, very good at times. They have looked like they can mop the floor with you at times. Now, they've gone to overtime and things of that nature, but overall, I think Florida has had a good tournament. Kentucky, I think, has struggled more than people realize. I mean, the fact that they can't get Brandon Knight going, except for maybe the last shot of the game, I think that's concerning for Kentucky. So to me, it's Arizona and UConn, I think, are the best two-looking teams right now in the tournament.
I can't argue against Kansas. Kansas, it's tough, though. They haven't really been tested.
I haven't seen enough because they haven't played anybody.
Right, exactly.
And that's why I say UConn and Arizona, and they both have that star player you're talking about. Kemba Walker took over against San Diego State. He basically, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Kalen Lucas' sophomore year, when Lucas would sit there and let people play, and then after a while he was like, all right, just get out of the way. Give me the ball, get out of the way, let me get us back into this game, and then you all can play again. And that's what Kemba Walker's been doing with Connecticut this year. And he did it again against San Diego State. So I think those two are the hottest teams. Now, getting back to this one-and-done thing, okay, I want to talk about this one-and-done thing, and maybe we'll pull this over the break as well because we're coming up against it hard for a second. But as I look at the mid-majors that have done well in the one-and-done since the one-and-done era has begun, is that due to the one-and-done, or is that due to more scholarships being spread around to more universities?
I don't know if it's more scholarships being spread around. I think it's the whole talent pool being deeper in general.
But let me rephrase it this way, and we'll go to break with this question, and we'll come back and we'll answer this question. Is it the one and done, or is it the idea that the NBA is the main goal for these players, and they are willing to go to smaller universities or spread out over more universities so they are the star player? And that's where we'll leave it. We'll also talk plenty of baseball today. We're going to talk all about the AL Central. We'll be joined by Tim Dirks from MLTradeRumors.com and then also Tony Paul from the Detroit News. And then we're going to talk a couple of interesting things in the junk bin. Somebody claims they can make clouds out of nothing. It's coming up soon. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.